So we go in, and there's four or five grown older men, just naked, just sitting on a couch, on a chair, just naked. And then this guy goes, hey, I'm going to go get naked too. And we were just like, okay.
Nikki, it's your mother. No, you never call me. I mean, I wonder, is your finger broken?
Just don't tell my mother.
It's your mother.
Mother.
No, you never call me.
Just don't tell my mother. Just don't.
Where the hell are you? You are never home.
Hello, my family. I'm your host, Nikki Levy, and welcome back to Don't Tell My Mother. Don't Tell My Mother is a brand new podcast where your favorite humans from movies, TV, sports, music, comedy tell a true story they'd never want their moms to know. And sometimes their mothers even join in for the fun. Our moms know how to push our buttons because they're the ones who installed them. Join us every Tuesday because this is where we are going to put the fun in dysfunctional. Now, today's guest is exactly what I need right now. He is a mensch, he's hilarious, and I'm not just saying that because he's a fellow Jew from Queens. You have seen him in the Showtime series Kidding with Jim Carrey, and he's out in the movie Lovebirds with Issa Rae. I'm talking about the incredibly funny actor and stand-up comic, Barry Rothbart. Barry is telling a hilarious story about the 800 gay men who changed his life. And then stick around, because we are joined by a very special Jewish mother. Here is Barry Rothbart.
Just don't tell my mother. Just don't.
Tired of ads intruding into your favorite comedy podcasts? Good news. Ad-free listening is available on Amazon Music for all the music plus top podcasts included with your Prime membership. Dive into a world of laughs by downloading the Amazon Music app for free or go to amazon.com/comedyadfree. That's amazon.com/comedyadfree to catch up on the latest episodes without the ads.
Hi, Bear.
Hey.
You look adorable.
Thank you. You look adorable.
This is a very special podcast for me, Barry, because you are the first straight man to do this podcast.
Really? Wow.
Swear to God.
I'm like the Jackie Robinson of straight men.
Yeah. Like, what? I'm trying to think, like, why? What makes you so special? But I love you. We start every show with, like, where you are. Like, where in the world are you? Because usually we'd be in a studio together, but, you know, I'm here in my apartment in LA and you're wherever you are. So tell me where you are right now.
I'm in my my bedroom. My dog is at my feet. I think just chilling out. Her name's Tyra Barks, and she is she's just having fun. You know, that's my life right now. That's what.
The last time I saw you was Instagram. But the last time I saw you was I think 5 years ago at a live Don't Tell My Mother show when you killed it at Busby's in Mid City, Los Angeles.
Yeah, it's wild. It's been that long. Time is just becoming. Like really scary to think about. I'm at that age now where I'm just like, I get mad at kids who were born after 9/11.
Isn't one of the big things that you actually have a kid who's born after 9/11, like born like recently?
Yeah, but she's born way after 9/11. And she can't tell me that she was born after 9/11, you know? So she's great. She's a year and 2 months now. She's incredible. Her name's Rudy.
Oh, Rudy. Yeah. What is she named after? Who is she named for?
Rudy Giuliani.
Shut the fuck up. Did you try to have a kid? Did you want to do this?
No, it was totally unplanned, actually. It was completely unplanned. I didn't want to. You know what? It was. We were at a spot where we were just like, we don't not want to have one, but we definitely don't want to have one. And then just nature, you know? Just nature happens. You know how it happens, right?
And I know how it happens. Yeah. As a lesbian, though, like, it happens a little differently. It's not as, like, nature. It's more like science, you know?
Not as many accidents for lesbians.
Yeah, none. That's the crazy thing. It's, like, 100% safe. Is there an embarrassing moment, like, from your childhood that you still think about?
I mean, there's so many, you know? I used to be called Diaper Boy for that. That was like a lot of my childhood because all the girls in my elementary school, this is like fifth grade. And I used to I used to be like, why are they calling me diaper boy? And this was a whole year that everybody started calling me diaper boy. And I was like the new kid. I got made fun of a lot. I was like, because we had moved actually, I grew up in Forest Hills. We moved to Whitestone, which is another part of Queens.
Yep, I know Whitestone.
And then back to Forest Hills. So I'd switched schools a bunch and I was new in the school and everyone started calling me diaper boy. And I realized because I had this cheap leather belt that crinkled like a diaper.
No, and really?
I couldn't. My pants wouldn't stay up unless I wore that belt. So I went to my mom and I was like, "Hey, can I have a new belt?" And she was like, "No, your belt's totally fine." So I had to wear this diaper belt, and it was horrifying. And that was a big part of my childhood, being called diaper boy, and it like carried on through junior high with some kids, which was really traumatic.
That's a lot.
Yeah.
That's a lot. I was called Nikki Sucks Dickie or Nikki Has a Hickey. But
I like that. That means you were cool.
Well, you would be wrong because I was not. I was definitely not. And I didn't even have a hickey. So like I couldn't even brag about that. But diaper boy.
I still wear it. I still wear that belt.
So this podcast, as you know, and like my favorite subject in the world is about like our stories and the stories we don't tell our moms. What was your mom like growing up?
You know, it's funny. I have so many different stages of my relationship with my mom. But my mom was definitely more of the parent compared to my dad. My dad was very, very much my friend. And they got divorced when I was 4.
Interesting.
And he was, I mean, my dad was a great dad, but he was very strange. He was a criminal, first of all. He was in the mob. Uh-huh. And
The Jewish mafia or the Italian mafia?
The Italian mafia. He was a bookie. He wasn't like killing people or anything. He was like this jolly, fat Jewish guy who was like, you know, doing the math stuff.
A lot of Jews ended up working for the mafia doing the books because it's a job they could get and they were good at it.
Totally. And so then, you know, long story short, growing up with she was worried a lot, very protective.
Right. Typical Jewish mom in that
very
way.
Very loving.
Like very anxious.
Yeah, very anxious. Mm-hmm. We weren't very close when I was in my teens and then 20s, and then we got close again when in my 30s. And now we've been – actually, since my daughter was born, we've been closer than ever because there's way more common ground. You find out that you have, like, this thing that you both love and you could talk about because we live on different coasts too. So we're way closer now than we were at some point.
Where's your mom now? Where's your mom live?
She's in Forest Hills.
Ah!
In Queens, yeah. You know that.
yes. Barry is from Queens. And I told Barry, because I'm from Queens, and I never admit it. I just say New York. I don't say New York City. I'm not trying to pass for Manhattan. I'm not like, I don't even want to be that fancy. My mom's from the Bronx, you know? But like, I just say New York. I leave it vague. And you actually have Queens.
Manhattan? It's like,
I wish I could say Manhattan.
Not me.
You have Queens
is so much
pride.
Cooler. Yeah. You get so much street cred.
Oh, God.
Queens.
I'm embarrassed.
From Forest Hills, the mean streets of Forest Hills, where the U.S. Open used to be.
So Barry, you're gonna tell me a story today, and then I think we might even call your mom after. I'm really excited about this story. Tee it up for me and tell me everything.
There was a point in my life before I was doing movies where I was pretty broke and I was living in New York and I was in my early 20s. So this was like 2008. So I was like 25 around then. And I feel like everyone goes through this time when they're in their early to mid 20s where you're just like, I'm willing to fucking do anything for money. Like, I don't care if I live in the tiniest apartment. You're just willing to put yourself through shit, through the worst crap because you're like, I'm struggling. I'm trying to make it. And I did, I started because I was doing comedy. I couldn't really want to have like a full-time job. I did some full-time jobs. I was a mortgage broker for a while in my 20s. I'd always get fired too. I got fired from like 10 jobs in a row because I was always good at interviewing, but I was never good at keeping a job because I didn't care.
Right.
And I'm not like the best at just doing stuff that I don't care about.
Me neither.
So then I was like, I want to get into film. This was after college. And I bought a camera. So I was like, I could be a videographer. Because if you own a camera, you basically are a videographer, right?
We've all seen bar mitzvah videographers. Yeah. They don't know much.
Yeah, I just had a camera and I knew how to edit. So I was like, I'm a videographer. And my friend and I started a company. I feel like every young Jew goes through, I'm going to start a company phase. And I went through this, like, I'm going to start a videography media company. Like, it's going to be huge. We're going to have, like, a name.
What was the name of this fake company?
It was called Wolf Angle Films. We just were like, we're going to put ads out. We're videographers. We started doing weird job. We did, like, a exercise video for this guy who had one leg. We did, like, a documentary about some woman who was trying to create this new herbal tea that could help you lose weight. We did all types of weird shit. Hmm? So then one day we get an email that was from Nude Yorker at AOL.
Nude Yorker. AOL.
I think it was something like Nude Yorker.
Please let it be Nude Yorker.
And we would get a lot of weird emails that were like, you know, hey, will you like shoot us having sex for $20? Like, and we're like, eh, you know, not really, but maybe if it was more money. And the email from Nude Yorker goes, I have a project, and it's very high paying. I can't talk about it in an email. I have to talk about it in person. And I was just like, what the fuck is this? So I had to be like, hey, yeah, we're interested. What do you want to do? Do you want to meet up? And he was like, yeah, let's meet up. So we were like, all right, let's do it. I think we even spoke on the phone once, and he was like, come to my apartment on the Upper West Side. Yeah, we were just like, fuck it, let's do it. Like, this guy seems like legit. He wants to talk about a project. Let's do it. And then we get there, and the guy opens the door to this apartment, and he goes, he's like, okay, I'm just going to let you know something. There's people who are naked in the other room. That was like the first thing he says to us.
What did this guy look like when you opened the door? Was he?
He was this. He looked like a baby that suddenly became an older man. Like,
got
he
it.
Was like shaped like a baby, but he was like older.
Like Sam Kinison or something.
Yeah. Like a short haired Sam Kinison. Less less outrageous. Mm-hmm. He was very soft spoken. He was like, there was nothing alarming about the way he said it. Like, he was not like, hey, you guys want to have sex? Like, he was just like, just letting you know there's some naked people in the other room. And we were just like, hey, fuck it. And we also were, I always had fancied myself someone who's willing to just kind of go with stuff. Like, I'm like, I'll just go with it. Like, who cares? Like, we're in New York, we're comedians. We're just like, this will be a weird story.
Exactly. If it's not a good experience, it's good material.
Yeah, like, so we're like, let's go with it. Which also, this is something that's a privilege of being a white male. Like, you can go into crazy situations. If you're a woman, you probably are not going to go into a situation like this. Like,
I was going to say that a girl could never do this. A girl could never go to this apartment and see, well, let's just see what happens.
So we go in, and there's four or five grown older men, just naked, just sitting on a couch, on a chair, just naked. And then this guy goes, hey, I'm going to go get naked too. And we were just like, okay.
Did you get nervous? Like,
I was like, no, it just felt so, like, you ever been in a situation where you're just like, it's almost the opposite of those situations where you're walking down the street and someone scary is coming towards you and everything in your gut is like, something's wrong about this. I know something's wrong, even though it seems normal. This is the inverse of that. It was like, this felt like everything was wrong, but something about it felt normal. Like, something in your gut was like, this is normal, but I should be scared, but I'm not scared. He offered me a cheese plate, which is, I think, the weirdest weirdest food to offer when there's a room full of naked people. Mm-hmm. But he offered us a cheese plate. We ate some cheese, brie, which is also the weirdest cheese to offer on a cheese plate when people are naked.
Okay, wait. Who were these guys?
What I found out was they were a bunch of they were representing a large group of nudists, an organization of nudists. And they were like, not only is it a nudist organization, but it is 50 plus and it is gay. It's a gay 50 plus nudist. And so he goes, yeah. So he goes, okay, so here's the gig. Every year we have our main summer event where all the nudists from around the world come to this one campgrounds where it's 800 plus naked gay 50 plus men, and they wanted videographers to chronicle this because it was the 50th anniversary of this event. we want someone who's willing to do this. And we go, of course, how much money? Uh-huh. And they go, $14,000.
Are you kidding me?
For 2 weeks.
Hey, I'm Ryan Reynolds. Recently, I asked Mint Mobile's legal team if big wireless companies are allowed to raise prices due to inflation. They said yes. And then when I asked if raising prices technically violates those onerous two-year contracts, they said, what the f*** are you talking about, you insane Hollywood ass f-? So to recap, we're cutting the price of Mint Unlimited from $30 a month to just $15 a month. Give it a try at mintmobile.com/switch.
$45 up front for 3 months plus taxes and fees. Promo rate for new customers for limited time. Unlimited more than 40 gigabytes per month. Slows full terms at mintmobile.com.
Keep in mind, this was a point where we were so broke. And we were like, 14,000? Fucking yes. What do you need us to do? And he was like, just show up. I just need you guys to show up and we'll chronicle this. You'll stay here for 2 weeks and you'll get lodging and it'll be great.
And where's this camp?
In the Poconos. So we rent a car and this was like a few weeks after we're getting ready. We actually ended up hiring another guy and we told him, we were like, look, this is what it is. It's going to be, we're going to be around naked gay men all day and this is just what it's going to be. And
to be clear, you and these guys are straight.
We're straight.
Yep.
And we get there. I remember, I'll never forget, we're driving up and we're near where the actual campgrounds are. It's like a really desolate area. There's like nothing, it's just trees. And then suddenly we see like one guy naked and we're driving up and then there's like two naked men.
Just asses.
And then there's like asses, dicks. And then we get like three, and then we turn into the driveway, and it's just, this must have been the day of orientation. It's just naked. It's a sea of naked men.
Oh my God. It's like the river of dicks.
And it's shocking. It's like a shocking thing. It's like everything in your body is like this is weird, and like this is shocking, but you're also like, it's just nature. It like quickly became like, oh, this is okay. It's just naked guys. And then we get there and we check in. So the guy goes to us and he's like, hey, also, by the way, obviously you guys need to be naked these 2 weeks. And we were like, wait, what? What do you mean we need to be naked? And he's like, you don't need to. We're not forcing you, but let's just say you're going to want to be naked. And we're like, why? He's like, it's going to be very weird to be the only three clothed men in a campground of 800 plus naked gay guys. And everyone else will feel weird if you're clothed. Can
right.
you just be
it's
naked?
It's kind of unfair to the naked
and
guys.
And we were like, for 14 grand, let's just do it. And we went into that because this is was my best friend at the time. And this other guy I'd never met. And we'd never seen each other naked.
Of course.
We had this moment where we were just like, it was like a Band-Aid. We just went into our cabin. We got this cabin that we were all three of us were sharing. There was three beds in this cabin. So we one, two, three, and we all just like took our clothes off and we were like, oh my God, we're just naked now.
Let me ask you one thing, Barry. How did you feel about being naked in general?
I never was great about being naked. I was a fat kid growing up. I wore shirts in the pool. I was like, I had boobs. I was like very self-conscious about my body.
Yeah.
My mom was always cool about it. She was always like, yeah, you wear a shirt in the pool. You're just the kid who wears a shirt in the pool. That's okay.
It's good of her.
I had like whatever body image issues you would have at that age anyway. I also was never like I just was like, I didn't know if I had a big penis either. Turns out mine was average. So that was cool. I was just looking around and I was like, this is average. Fine. That's great.
Jewish guys are very girthy. Jewish guys have girth. I've been with enough.
Yes. I'm all girth. Yeah. I'm like a paint can. And my mom's going to listen to this at some point, I'm sure.
So you guys leave the room naked.
We leave the room naked and we start walking around and we're like, this is weird, but we start getting used to it. And as the day goes on, we started to realize though that there's a whole range of naked. So it's like if you're just naked with your shoes on, it's way different than naked with your shoes off. And if you're naked with, because we'd all wear lanyards.
Yeah. Oh, yep.
It's way more naked without the lanyard because, like, that's like your clothing. And it was just like, it all felt like it was like learning a new way to be around people. We realized that eating was buffet style, which was very strange way to eat when you're naked. You eat naked and you carry a towel around so you could sit on stuff and
for cleanliness, I guess.
Yeah, the first day went by and then we were like, okay, it's weird. It's weird to carry a camera. We did interviews. It's weird to carry a camera naked. Everyone was very respectful. There was no like anything weird. And you start to get used to it and then weird things will happen. So like number one, when it rains, it started raining, or when it's cold, people wear shirts but no pants. And that's like more naked than naked. It's like when you have a shirt on and your dick's out underneath the shirt, it's like it was a new level of naked.
That is Porky Pig adorable.
So we start to like get used to it. I remember there was a guy named Bear Man who was the cock ring salesman. Everyone would want cock rings. And I remember he would sell cock rings and he was like, you guys want one? And I was like, no, we're all right. He's like, you sure? And we were like, yeah. And he's like, he gave us this strange advice. I remember we were leaving and he goes, hey, you'll never forget the sound of a cock ring hitting the floor.
What does that even mean?
What?
Does that mean after you have sex because the ring falls off on your flaccid penis?
I don't know what it means to this day. I think it means you're just like when a cock ring hits the floor, it's like time to go. I don't know.
Well, that's because your penis is flaccid.
There's this thing that happens when you take your clothes off and you're around people who have their clothes off where like all of the societal... all of the symbols of society and class and style and like who you are kind of fall away. And there's this strange like oneness that you get with everyone because you don't realize how much your clothes really give away a lot of things that separate us. Like, you know, like people will seem cooler in their clothes or people will seem less cool or people seem wealthier or less wealthy. Mm-hmm. So there was this just kind of like togetherness that everyone had. So then I started like, you know, as the time went on, it started to become really great and I started to feel good. And then I remember towards the end, they were like, we have this big talent show and they found out I was a comedian and they were like, do you want to do stand up on it? And I was like, yeah, I guess I would. And he was like, it's all of us are there. It's like 800 people.
Wow, that's a lot of people.
It'll be really fun if you want to do it. And I was like, I think I'm going to just do it. And he's like, you know, obviously you'll be naked. And I was like, yeah, I guess, yeah, I'll be naked. And then I did it. And it was like one of the best sets I've ever had. And it was really triumphant. It felt like this big kind of, it was like overcoming something that had bothered me forever about my body and, you know, my image and, you know, being able to be that vulnerable in front of that many people, it felt like this huge thing. And then I remember on the last day, we were all putting our clothes on and it was like, it felt really sad. And we had made friends, you know, we'd made friends with these people. We were on like a first name basis. We'd be like, hey, Bear Man. Hey, you know, hey, Hank, you know? And then we were putting our clothes on and everybody was like, it just was, the mood was really strange. And I was like, hey, one last time for the road. And I just pulled my pants down and just showed everyone my dick again.
and
they did too. And we just all kind of were naked. Wow. Like a few of us were just naked one last time. And it was really sweet. And we all went our separate ways. And then I had to edit like 600 hours of dicks for the next 3 months.
How do you think this changed your life? Like, if you would look back 20 years, however many years ago.
Well, it actually gave me enough money to move to Los Angeles. I moved to Los Angeles not long after that.
You're kidding me.
No.
You're kidding me.
No. Yeah, it was the windfall I needed for that move. You know, it also gave me a different perspective on the LGBTQ community because I was like, it always feels like a other. It's like, you know, there's so many ways that we create others. But there's something about being around these men for this long. It was like, yeah, we're just the same. Like, we're not different at all, really. And there's always this fear that straight men grow up with, that a gay guy's going to hit on you. Yep. I think it's a fear that, like, deep down probably that you'll be into it, I think is the big fear.
Yep. I think that's a really good point and a really honest point.
But I remember I was talking to this one guy and he was like, hey, do you ever want to hang out, like in a hanging out way?
Right.
You know?
And, Netflix and chill way.
And I was just like, it didn't feel weird at all. And I was just like, you know, I'm actually not, I don't do that. But if you ever want to hang out, just like hanging out, yeah, that would be great. And it was just like this very transactional kind of mature moment. And we just went on talking and it didn't feel weird. It didn't feel strange. And I don't even think that could happen. I don't think a man or a woman could say that to another man or woman that casually. And then you just keep talking. Like it was kind of eye opening. And I think when you break down those walls of like people are different from you or scary or foreign, I think you just start to realize that it's like, yeah, everybody's kind of just the same. I mean, that's the big metaphor of being a nudist, is like, we're all kind of the same and it's very freeing.
I love everything about the story. Like, I love the fact
Thank you.
Like, it's not about gay cam.
I do too.
And it's not about like the crazy job.
And there's no bad ending. It's a good ending.
It's a happy ending, we can even say. Does your mother know that you raised the money to move to LA by shooting a gay 50 plus nudist camp off Craigslist?
You know what's funny? I don't think so.
Let's call your mother.
Hello.
Hi,
can you hear me?
Oh. Yes.
Hi.
Is this Barry's mom?
Barry's mommy.
Hi.
Thanks for inviting me.
Tammy, I'm so happy to meet you. I love your son.
Oh, he's terrific. He's the best.
This podcast is about people telling true stories that, you know, they quote unquote wouldn't want to tell their moms. And then sometimes, you know, if they have a wonderful mom like you, they actually use it as an opportunity to tell their mom. So Barry told us a really funny story about a first job he had.
Remember when I was doing videography for Wolfangle Films?
Yeah, I remember.
I once did. This is when I was really, I was up and coming and pretty broke. I did I shot a nudist colony. A 50 plus gay nudist colony.
I didn't know that.
I did a video. Yeah, and it was enough money that it actually paid for my way to LA. It was like a big chunk of money. Yeah.
Oh my God. A lot I didn't know, Barry. A lot.
Barry was telling us that, like, you know, it was going to be uncomfortable for him, you know, to be naked, because when he was a kid, he was kind of chubby and he was.
Oh, he had to be naked?
Yes.
What? I had to be naked.
No.
Yeah.
Why? If you're the videographer, why?
Because it was a nudist event and they didn't want it. Want us to be the only clothed people.
Are you serious?
I did stand up. I did stand up for them naked too.
No.
Yeah.
Completely butt naked?
Well, I had shoes on.
Oh, that is so weird.
What did you teach your kids? I think you have two sons about, you know, nakedness or their body growing up, because I ask because my mom, also, you know, Jewish from New York, like I said, would actually walk around our house naked. I'm not even kidding you, with the vertical blinds open, which was so embarrassing to me. Oh. How did you teach about any of this, you know, to Barry growing up?
It wasn't something that was about their bodies, you mean?
Just body image, yeah.
Body image,
oh,
I guess.
Oh, body. I don't think now the topic that we, I'll be honest with you, that we spoke about, I think because they weren't girls, had they been girls, maybe it would have come up.
That's true. Yeah.
Do you recall anything, Barry, that stood out?
No, I do remember feeling like there was never judgment or anything about being like, both Brian and I grew up like on the chubbier side at certain times.
Yeah, but it wasn't like outstanding chubbiness. It wasn't like
I thought it was outstanding.
Was Barry a good, like a good boy? He kind of behaved well.
He was very often a very good boy, very sweet.
I've always been a good boy. Yeah.
I don't know what he did on the side, but which I didn't know about.
Besides the nudist colony, I've been a good boy.
God knows what else. God knows. Can I share it with all my friends?
Yeah, it was all wholesome. I remember, you know, my mom's a writer and she has a different last name than me. So I remember when the first, she wrote an article about me.
Many articles, many.
But the first one that she wrote was after I did The Tonight Show. Never in the article did she mention she was my mom, but it was so much praise. And it was like, not only is he funny, but he's handsome and he has blue eyes.
He has blue eyes, much like mine.
And if you were reading it, you'd be like, why is this woman who writes for this paper just in love with this?
I've been writing for over 10 years. You know, like feature, arts and entertainment, newsy, arts and entertainment.
Right. No, that's a good beat to have, because then you get to write about Barry.
You could write about that's right.
Barry, what is something you'd like to teach Rudy growing up about, like loving her body, loving herself?
That's a good question.
You know, I think that it's to love herself. I mean, that's the easy answer, is to be like, you should love yourself. But I think it's more than that. It's that you shouldn't, like, your body should be lower on your priorities of identity.
Right.
So I think that, like,
your mind,
you shouldn't identify with the way you look in the ways that are important. I think you should identify with your personality strengths, with your abilities, you know.
Be yourself.
Yeah, but you should be okay. You should love your body, but I don't think that should be like the forefront of what makes you you.
Yeah, it's your character. It's your
character. Yeah,
kindness, your talent, what kindness, you bring to the
but
table.
But she's the light of our lives. She really is.
So she's saying "love you" now to everything. She'll kiss even inanimate objects and say "love you." She'll kiss a couch and be like "love you."
Love you.
Oh, and I thought she said it to me only. I thought she was.
Barry, you are like the sweetest human. Tammy, I'm so happy you came and learned Zoom just for this.
Oh, thank you. I love it. Thanks for inviting me.
Just remember, if it's not one thing, it's your mother.
It's your mother.
Thanks for hanging with me and Barry and Barry's mommy. We hope you liked what you heard. If you did, subscribe to Don't Tell My Mother wherever you get your podcasts. And follow us on Instagram at Don't Tell My Mother, where we get silly and drop fun show info and updates. Love you. Mwah!
Don't Tell My Mother is created, hosted, and executive produced by Nikki Levy, my daughter. The show is executive produced by John Cryer. Oh my God, I love him. And Lisa Joyner and Jody Zuckerman Weiner at Discount Sushi. Our producer is Liza Glukoft. Co-producer, Andrew Condon. Edited by Donovan Bullen. Theme song by Donovan Bullen and Joe McKenzie. Distributed by Acast. Now go call your mothers.
Even when we're on a budget, we still deserve nice things. Quince is a place to scoop up stunning high-end goods for 50 to 80% less than similar brands. They have buttery soft cashmere sweaters starting at $50, luxurious Italian leather bags, and so much more. Plus, Quince only works with factories that use safe, ethical, and responsible manufacturing. Get the high-end goods you'll love without the high price tag with Quince. Go to quince.com/style for free shipping and 365-day returns.